You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
What Nicki Minaj just said has both sides arguing, and honestly, she might have just delivered the most unexpectedly unifying message of the year. Nicki Minaj didn't hold back, and she did it with grace. She challenged the idea that uplifting one group requires tearing another down.
We were not being represented and not being admired for our beauty. If we felt like that as Black women, why would we want to do that to other women? Why would we now need to make other people downplay their beauty so that we can feel, no, that's not how it works. I don't need someone with blonde hair and blue eyes to downplay their beauty because I know my beauty. Do you understand? It doesn't bother me that a woman feels and says that she's beautiful. Amen. Why shouldn't she feel that? Why have we gotten to a point where certain colors or certain kinds of people have to be afraid of loving themselves and loving the way they look? Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that wild?
Yeah. She basically said, if we hated being put down, why would we repeat that cycle? And honestly, that's powerful. Instead of feeding division, she flipped the conversation toward confidence and respect without attacking anyone. Nicki clarified she doesn't need anyone with blonde hair and blue eyes to tone down their beauty for her to feel beautiful. Because confidence isn't a competition, and that's where her message hits. She's saying, if you truly know your worth, someone else shining shouldn't dull your light. And that's a message a lot of celebrities avoid because it risks backlash. Her energy was uplifting, not aggressive. She acknowledged the history of Black women being ignored and underappreciated, but she refused to turn that pain into revenge. That's maturity. That's growth. And that's the kind of voice that actually pushes conversations forward instead of backward. Whether people agree or disagree, one thing's clear. Nicki didn't choose chaos. She chose confidence. And it's exactly the kind of message that could shift culture if more people adopted it instead of playing identity politics for clicks and outrage. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for more celebrity updates.
Okay, now, I had to play this clip, right? This clip didn't really play everything that I wanted to actually talk about, but I just want to talk about a few things, okay? Now, this episode, I named Don't Drink the Kool-Aid. Okay, so Nicki Minaj, when she was basically talking to Erica Kirk on that stage, and when she said that, basically, I'm just paraphrasing, about people attacking white women. Okay, so when she said that, right, I had an issue with that. Because me personally, especially Black people, I've never seen or hear publicly any Black women or Black people attacking white women. But at the same time, right? And if I was talking to Nicki Minaj right now, face to face, this is what I would ask her. Nicki, where were you when people like Tom and Lauren were talking crap about Black women? Where were you when people like Megyn Kelly were talking crap about Black women? Where were you when people like Ann Coulter were talking crap about Black women? And we could go way back to people like Rush Limbaugh, right? May that man rest in peace. He talked trash about Black women, especially people like Serena Williams, right? Talk trash. And what really bothers me, right, when I see some of a lot of these, especially these Black entertainers, they're quick, a lot of them quick to defend white folks. But very rarely I see these Black entertainers who has a voice, who has millions of followers, to protect their own kind, their own people, the black people, right? People that freaking that support them. But when the white man or the white woman talk trash about them, they stay silent. A lot of these black celebrities, that's what they do. They stay silent, right? Never once I see a celebrity when a black person is being attacked, right? Look at somebody like Jasmine Crockett, for example, right? A black politician, a lawyer who's doing the fight. And I don't see when I hear a lot of people, white folks, talking mess about Jasmine Crockett. Never about her policies, right? Always about she's ghetto, she's this, she's that. Look how she wears her nails and all of that crap, right? Never about her policies, but I don't hear no black people, especially rappers. And I'm talking about rappers mainly because I'm a hip hop guy and I love hip hop, right? You know what I'm saying? A lot of times in the music, they talk about how hard they are. But are they really hard when it comes to the other race? Or just against our own kind, right? Never once I see these people with voices, right, defend the black women, man. Never once. Now, I know it didn't say that in the clip, but Nicki Minaj also went off after the LGBTQ, right, community. And she said that boys will be boys, right? This is her right, this her feeling. But how I feel about that is that you're basically pooping on the people that support you. That's how I feel. You know what I mean? A lot of our fans are from that community. A lot of her friends are from that community. You understand me, right? Also, what else did she say now? Talking white woman, LGBT, and then she said about Donald Trump defeating the bad guys, right? My question is, who are the bad guys? Tell me. Defeat who? Huh? I wish, to be honest, man, that before she get on her ex and be exing or tweeting or whatever they call it, and talking about Muslim or Christians, I'm sorry, Christians are being persecuted in Nigeria. It's not only Christians alone that are being persecuted in Nigeria. Muslims too are being persecuted. So you're telling me that Muslims are not human beings as well? So you're telling me only Christians alone that are being attacked? That's what I want to know. You understand me? That's what I want to know, right? It's not only Christians alone that are being attacked. There are Muslims being attacked. It's mainly a regional thing from the research I've done, right? Mainly a regional thing, okay? So it's more than just Christians. Muslims, a lot of people there are being attacked, whether you're Christian or Muslim. All right? Now, I've seen this thing go online, I guess from change.org, talking about the Putin, Nicki Minaj. I think that's fucking stupid, man. Excuse my language. That's dumb to me. You know what I mean? I get it. Most of the people just want to see what people think. Because, of course, we all know it's not really real. You know what I mean? Just because I feel though, right? I might not agree with Nicki Minaj, right? Of the things that she says, right? But guess what, though? I'm not going to cancel this woman. I don't believe in cancel culture any damn way. Just because you do not agree with somebody's politics or policies. I believe in the cancel culture. You know what I mean? I do believe in having a conversation, though, whether we agree with the other person or not. So you see what I'm saying? Right? We might not agree with her policies or how she stands. But one thing I will say, though, about her. She's brave. You know what I mean? For doing what she did. She's very brave for doing what she did. Whether you think so or not, she is. I wish more rappers, more hip-hop stars could do the same, right? I always feel, all right? And I like to put an age on this, right? You know what I'm saying? Rappers that are 35 and older. You know what I mean? We should know where they stand politically. You know? And just because you might be on the other side, that doesn't mean I'm not going to listen to your damn music. If you make good music, trust me, people like me, we don't give a damn. You know what I mean? We're not going to agree with you, because I know a lot of us, at least in my age group, should know better when it comes to certain topics or certain things. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not going to stop listening to your music just because I don't agree with you. You know what I mean? And some of y'all people out there, right? Some of y'all would rather support criminals, man, right? These men, these stars, these rappers, whatever, these men that have been convicted of sexual assault and raping women. Some of y'all would support that. As far as I know, Nicki Minaj is not a criminal. As far as I know, she's not a felon. As far as we know, right? She's not a damn criminal. So why you going to cancel this woman or try to cancel her anyway because you don't agree with what she says? You know what I mean? Just like I said earlier, she is brave. She's very brave for doing what she did. And I might not like it, but I respect it. You know what I mean? I might not like her because how I feel that she's really kissing the man's butt. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel about it. The way she speaks, right? And I see a lot of mixed reactions online. Some people is for Nicki Minaj, and some people is against it, right? Is against it, right? You understand me? You know what I mean? Me, I'm on the fence in between because I might not agree with her. You know what I mean? Because I do believe when she does that, she's probably alienating some of her fans, right? You know? But one thing I want to talk about as well is for the celebrities, right? When they really talk, endorsing these candidates or whatever, let's talk about policies, okay? Now, once I heard Nicki Minaj said anything, any kind of policy that is going to affect the average voting, the average taxpaying American citizen. Now, once, and not only her, it goes on both sides both sides of the aisle too, right? Goes on both sides of the aisle. You know what I mean? When a celebrity is endorsing even a Democratic candidate, me personally, I don't pay attention to every single celebrity, but me personally, I've never heard these celebrities talk about policies that's going to really affect your bottom line, poor people by bottom line, right? Never. You understand me? I believe if you're going to get in the political realm, I really believe that you should talk about the policies that's going to help the average American, not only black people, man. We can't just talk about just black people alone, because they got poor white people out there too that's struggling, just like black folks, just like poor black folks, right? That's going to help the average American. You see what I'm saying? And as black people, I do believe we need to stop this black agenda. Because I believe, right, the agenda that a politician do, it should serve all American, not only black people. Because if they make policies for black people anyway, right, it's going to help out all American anyway. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So that's the type of things I want to talk about, right? I don't dislike Nicki Minaj. I don't know her to dislike her, right? I see people online or stay saying that she want a pardon for her dagger brother, which Donald Trump cannot pardon her brother anyway because he's convicted of state charges anyway. So he cannot be pardoned. You understand me? And if he's in New York, they're the Democratic governor. And it's not going to happen. Point blank. Right? You see what I'm saying? So all those daggone things, man, you know what I mean? Whether you like it or not, just today in cancer culture, I don't agree with though, man. You know what I mean? Just like I said, Nicki Minaj, I do believe that she's brave for doing what she did. And let's think, I also think about this too, right? I guarantee if a lot of these rappers that we love, that come up with these hard-ass songs that are like, damn, bangers, we come up with these bangers, right? I guarantee a lot of them are mega. Undercover mega. I guarantee that. I guarantee a lot of them are undercover mega. But then a lot of them are not brave enough to come out. I'm telling you right now, this is damn near 2026, right? We're in 2025. Another week, we'll be into 2026, right? And I believe the average people, a lot of us, at least mature people like myself, I don't care where you stand. You know what I mean? I really don't, right? But we should know, you know what I'm saying? I do believe if you're into politics, I do believe you, especially as a rapper, right? As a rapper who grew up from the struggle, I really believe that, you know what I mean? You should let the people know where you stand politically, if you're brave enough. Come on out, right? Let the people know if you stand politically. My favorite rapper right now, Scarface. My favorite rapper. If Scarface ever come on and say he's a MAGA, he's a MAGA person, I'm not going to stop listening to his music. I think he makes good music. You know what I mean? Kid Rock. He's a diehard MAGA person. Diehard MAGA person. But guess what, though? Guess what? Kid Rock, I still like his music. He makes good music. I'm still going to jam to his damn music. You know what I mean? I'm still going to listen to his music because I believe he makes good music. Just because a person, you know, man, and we need to get away from that, man. Along as, you know what I'm saying, like as a black person and you're a rapper or entertainer, you don't be bashing your own people, your own black people, man. Like I see certain people do, like Candace Owens, when she talk bad about black folks. You see what I'm saying? And stuff like that. But I was talking bad about what black folks are not doing. We're not coming up, and we're not trying to come up with ideas, right? Or help create solutions to try to help a lot of black people in the black community. She's not doing that. Because it's more lucrative to talk bad about black people. That's how I feel. Those people that's on the right, especially black folks, it's more lucrative to talk bad about black folks. Because that's where they make their money at. Right? That's why I named this episode, Don't Drink the Kool-Aid. You understand me? People out there, your favorite entertainer, no matter, I don't care if you vote Democrat, I don't care if you vote Republican, right? Please do your homework and stop listening to these daggone people. Okay, please play clip two.
I just told you a little while ago, these leaders that they call leaders, this included Lena Horne, this included Dick Gregory, and this included comedians, comics, trumpet players, baseball players. Show me in the white community where a comedian is a white leader. Show me in the white community where a singer is a white leader, or a dancer or a trumpet player is a white leader. These aren't leaders. These are puppets and clowns that have been set up over the white community and or over the black community by the white community, and have been made celebrities, and usually say exactly what they know that the white man wants to hear.
Okay, so I saw this clip going on online after Nicki Minaj. I've seen it before, but I've seen this clip years ago, or whatever. But it really started circling online, right? So I had to put this add this clip to it with what Malcolm X said. You know, a lot of us, right? A lot of people, I should say, look up to a lot of these entertainers, you know, and we think these entertainers should be, some of us, some people do, not everybody, think that some of these entertainers should be leaders, right? Should be leading us, right? But when you think about it, a lot of them is set up by the white powers to be to try to brainwash us, right? Look at Turning Point now. Turning Point is going to these colleges. And before Charlie Kirk passed, may that man rest in peace. Before he passed, what was he doing? Is he going to a lot of these colleges trying to recruit black people, right? You know what I'm saying? Talk to black people, probably try to recruit some black people, right? I was thinking about like the 80-20 rule, right? Out of 100% of people that you talk to, maybe you might get 20% of people on your side. And with those damn 20%, they can spread your message. You understand what I'm saying? They can spread your message. And that's what I think, you know, Turning Point wants, especially when it comes to someone like Nicki Minaj, right? They get her in the fold. You understand me? They get her in the fold. Since she got millions of followers, right? They try to turn you into what Turning Point want you to be, right? Trying to indoctrinate you. You understand me, right? That's how I feel. You know what I mean? These entertainers, let them entertain. So I'm saying, because a lot of them, not all, so some of them are very knowledgeable when it comes to politics and stuff like that. But a lot of them do not really study politics or understand politics. They're just going to go on a lot of them, they go on the bandwagon, what's popular at that time. Sometimes, what's more lucrative? Who's going to give me the better bag, right? The better money. You know what I'm saying? To do this, you know? Soulja Boy, I'm going to give an example, right? Soulja Boy, Snoop Dogg, and Rick Ross, but mainly, right, had perform after Donald Trump won the election. And they perform whatever, I don't know, during the inauguration or sometime after the inauguration, whatever. And they're getting a lot of flack for it, right? Which I'm not mad that they perform with them, Donald Trump. Go and make it their money. But Soulja Boy said something that really upset my spirit, man. I don't know this man, right? And what the man said, when he came on there on camera, flashing all his damn money, right? Flashing all the money, and said, Kamala Harris ain't never done nothing for me. Joe Biden never done nothing for me. You know what I mean? It's all about me, me, me. He's not thinking about the big picture and think about, right, what could benefit black folks. So I'm saying that man was just thinking about himself. So if you're listening to this right now, when it comes to these entertainers, I'm telling you, man, just listen to them and be entertained. If you're going to follow like real leaders, they got so many leaders out there right now. I wish that we could really support, that they're really on the ground doing the work, right? People like Tamika Mallory, you know what I mean? A leader that we need to follow. People like Angela Rye. People like Tiffany Cross. People like Andrew Gillen, right? Bakari Sellers. Those type of people that I see on TV or listen to them on the podcast. Excuse me. Those people are actually doing the work. You understand me, right? And not only those leaders that we see on TV that I do believe that we should actually listen. Not when I say listen to, but take heed to what they say. You understand me? But still do your homework at the same time. You know what I mean? But people that done the time, that's former street dudes, former street women, you know what I'm saying, that's been on the street, that know the struggle, that did the damn time, that comes back to the community to uplift the community, because they knew what they were doing before in the past. They were destroying their community, right? But then they're becoming community leaders. These are the type of leaders that we need to really follow. You understand me? These leaders that we see that actually underground doing the damn work, man. Right? Stop following these damn entertainers. Because the only thing they're going to do, they're going to get some of y'all killed. I'm telling you right now. Keep following them. Keep following those entertainers. They're going to get caught, some of y'all unalive listening to these damn entertainers. See what I'm saying? How many of those entertainers are they getting high on their hard drugs right now? But they're trying to tell you who to vote for or who to listen to. You see what I'm saying? Just be smart about it. I'm not saying don't pay attention to what they say, but when they talk about certain things, especially when it comes to politics, I believe that we should do our homework, man. Do our homework, right? With Nicki Minaj, you know what I mean? I'm not mad at her, but I would love just us to have a good conversation, a good, mature conversation. Because I do believe when she did that, with Erica Kirk, I do believe it's very dangerous, man, especially for the black community. It's very dangerous. See what I'm saying? Because with people like Turning Point, right? We don't know what the ulterior motive is. And also the thing about it, right? I've seen clips online where Charlotte Kirk, we're talking trash about Nicki Minaj. And I know she know about it. I know somebody in her camp had to know about it, man. Had to know about it, right? He said Nicki Minaj is not a role model. And other things that he said about her. You understand me? Was he right? You know what I mean? Not for me to damn judge. But that's the type of things that this man said. You see what I'm saying, right? Listening to the man speak, right? And she still goes there and embrace the wife when her husband was talking mess about her. I don't care how much I believe, right? Somebody talk trash about me like that? I don't give a damn the wife, nobody. I don't want to have nothing to do with those type of people. You understand me? That's what I'm saying, though, man, that we as people, right, when it comes to the entertainers, we need to just stop, just following them blindly. Following them blindly. Please play clip 3.
Back during slavery, when black people like me talked to the slaves, they didn't kill them. They sent some old house Negro along behind them to undo what he said. You have to read the history of slavery to understand this. There were two kinds of Negroes. There was that old house Negro and the field Negro. And the house Negro always looked out for his master. When the field Negroes got too much out of line, he held them back in check. He put them back on the plantation. The house Negro could afford to do that because he lived better than the field Negro. He ate better, he dressed better, and he lived in a better house. He lived right up next to his master in the attic or the basement. He ate the same food his master ate, and wore his same clothes, and he could talk just like his master, good diction. And he loved his master more than his master loved himself. That's why he didn't want his master hurt. If the master got sick, he'd say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick?" When the master's house caught a fire, he'd try and put the fire out. He didn't want his master's house burned. He never wanted his master's property threatened, and he was more defensive of it than the master was. That was the house Negro. But then you had some field Negroes who lived in huts, had nothing to lose. They wore the worst kind of clothes, they ate the worst food, and they caught hell. They felt the sting of the lash. They hated their master. Oh, yes, they did. If the master got sick, they prayed that the master died. If the master's house caught a fire, they prayed for a strong wind to come along. This was the difference between the two. And today you still have house Negroes and field Negroes. I'm a field Negro.
Okay, so when I saw this clip too, right? First thing that reminded me of, you ever seen a movie, Django Unchained? With Sam Jackson in that movie? Boy, he played the part so well in that daggone movie, man. Don't piss me off by the end of that movie. What's wrong, man? So we sick? Right? The house Negroes, right? And this is not really a bash to Nicki Minaj, Miss Minaj. They're not a bash to her. But when you think about it, right? A lot of the house Negroes are those entertainers. Because a lot of them eating better than us, living better than us, bigger houses. You understand me? And just because the master is giving them some good money, a few dollars, right? They're going to do what the master says. See what I'm saying? And I always go back to hip-hop because that's what I love, hip-hop, right? And when I see a lot of rappers talk about the powers to be in hip-hop, right? If that's true, they don't want you to talk about positive subjects. You see what I'm saying? They want you to indoctrinate the mind with negativity when it comes to hip-hop, right? Because guess what? The master is paying them good money, right? So they are the house Negroes. And I'll also look at it this way, right? Let's say, for example, if we got to fight the fight right now, God forbid, hope nothing crazy happens in this great country of ours, right? But so let's say something happened and we as black people got to fight. You understand me? Fight. All those rich rappers that we love, those rich black entertainers, those athletes, those black athletes who are rich, who are multimillionaire. What do you think a lot of them are going to do? They're going to leave the country because they can't afford to do that. I don't believe that they're going to stay and fight the fight with us. You understand me? Someone like me, hey, I'm just a hardworking American citizen. You know what I mean? I'm telling you. That's what a lot of them do. A lot of them will do. They're going to leave the country instead of fight the fight with us. When we're talking about house Negroes and field Negroes, remember that. Because the master is paying them some good money to spew a lot of propaganda. Look at people like Candace Owens. Right, this new damn black dude that I would see people like Officer Tatum, he called himself. I guess he was a police officer once in a former life. I don't know. You know what I mean? But people like that, right, I would call the house Negroes. Because all they do is shit on black people. You see what I'm saying? That's all they do. You know what I mean? When it comes to a lot of these entertainers that we love, these black entertainers, as a whole, what a lot of them have really done for the black community? They get you damn money, right? They get you money. And do they invest in things for the black community? Huh? Some of them do. I'll give the praise. People like T.I. I see what he's doing. Doing affordable housing. People like rappers like Killer Mike. I see what they're doing. I see what Snoop Dogg is doing, right? As well, having his own little football league over there. I see what people like Luther Campbell is doing. But that's just a small portion, though, right? And I know they got some few rappers that are actually doing positive things for the community, right? But I'm talking about the black community as a whole, man. What are they really doing? I don't see no hospitals being built to help out the black folks, the poor black people in the black community. I don't see no business being built, right? Right now in the future, we're going to get into the tech world. I don't see them building any kind of tech things, schools to teach the black youth of the future, the smart young black children. You know what I'm saying? They get rich off us. Right, we buy their music, we go to their shows, spend a lot, make these people rich. But are they really giving back, right? That's what I always say, right? Don't drink the Kool-Aid, man. Don't buy what they're selling. You understand me? You know what I mean? Just enjoy the music, right? And the reason why I named this Don't Drink the Kool-Aid, I'm going to tell you right now. Hold on a second. Let me get to my thing, right? Now, the reason why I named this Don't Drink the Kool-Aid, let's talk about Jim Jones. So, back in the 70s, Jim Jones, right? This man, he presented himself as a man who cared deeply about racial equality. But he really didn't. He spoke the language of justice and protection, right? That image attracted people who felt abandoned by society, right? So he was really speaking to the poor people, black people and white people, right? Right? So he positioned himself as a savior for the black families and the poor. This man offered food, housing, and a sense of belonging. And these type of services built trust before the control set in. And that's all that a lot of these people get you, right? They offered so much grace to you because they know you need it. You start trusting them, right? So now he starts speaking the religious language. That's the thing about a lot of black people, right? God, we have a lot of religion within us. You know what I'm saying? So he speaks the language, right? Jones, the moral authority. When people claim God is on their side, questioning feels very sinful. So you can't question this man. Faith became a tool for obedience. So, right after a while, so public acts of kindness masked private abuse. Jones understood optics matter more than truth. What people saw on the outside was carefully staged. Right? So Jones, he was setting up to what to become later. So I'm saying? So people started drinking the Kool-Aid, right? So he encouraged his followers to testify publicly about miracles. Right? And that's where Nicki Minaj comes in. Right? Turning point. Basically, right? And I'm just saying metaphorically now. Encouraging her to talk things publicly, right? So these testimonies could reinforce the belief within a group. So doubt slowly disappeared. See what I'm saying? So guess what? A lot of people doubt Donald Trump. With someone like Nicki Minaj, where millions of followers, right? Thinking her people are dumb. See what I'm saying? That when she speaks, a lot of people are going to listen and going to follow her. So Jones, right, the same thing. Jones, he blurred the line between activism and worship. Supporting him felt like supporting justice itself. That made disagreement feel immoral. So once these people start trusting Jim Jones, right, once these people start trusting him, right, now, if you start talking against him, now people are going to feel bad now. You know what I'm saying? Oh, this man is right. He's our leader. He is right of everything, right? So when the critics, right, were talking crap about Jones, right, Jones started framing it of our legitimate concerns, right? Once criticism equals hatred, loyalty deepens. So just like how Donald Trump speaks, talking about fake news, right? And a lot of people start believing all the news fake, everything about the news is fake because one man says it. So now they're going to believe this one man over multitude of different news or organization. You see what I'm saying? And that's all they get you, right? Right? They're going to say the media is the enemy. You know what I mean? Fake news, that's the enemy. And you're going to fall for that. Nonsense, instead of really do your homework, right? So Jones also demanded increasing loyalty. And over time, he got the loyalty. What began as admiration turned into obedience. The escalation was gradually, but not sudden. So he took his time, right? So Jones took his time just to get you, right? So followers were encouraged to report on each other, right? Think about it, right? His followers, if you're talking bad about Jones, right, he actually tells you to snitch, right? You got to snitch on the followers, right? Because you don't want nobody to talk bad about him. You see what I'm saying? What do you think this all damn administration is doing right now? Encouraging you to start snitching on people and stuff like that. So privacy vanished inside the movement. Fear replaced trust among members, right? And I really believe, right, turning point. I don't know too much about the organization, but I'm slowly but sure I'm learning. As time goes on, right, they're gonna get a generation of people. And those people is gonna be the undoing of a lot of people. That's all I believe, because millions of people follow these people from Turning Point. And that's how I feel. See what I'm saying? That's how I feel. Right? Jones used exhaustion to weaken resistance, right? So long meetings and constant labor drain people mentally. Tired minds question less. Right? When you're too tired, we're working hard doing all kind of crap. You know, you're not gonna question what the damn leader's saying. See what I'm saying? Why do you think about the damn when they used to do slavery? Or they used to work the body to the bone, man. Right? Now, and this is how they're gonna get you, right? They're gonna get you through your children. Children were raised, right? And this is Jim Jones, though. Children were raised inside Jones' belief system. They had no alternative perspective. Control extended across generations. So think about it, right? Jones controlled the children's mind because he know if he could get the young kids with their mind, he could control the future because he know that. So I'm saying, what do you think the Turning Point is doing? Why do you think he's going to all these colleges, man? Excuse me. Why do you think they are going to all these colleges to try to indoctrinate the young people's mind? You understand me? They try to indoctrinate the young people's mind. And right now, it seems like they have a lot of people. Because if you get the young people, they got you. Right? So after a while, public humiliation was used to enforce obedience. Punishment was disguised as discipline. Shame became a method of control. Think about it, right? Sometimes some of these right-wing media, right, they're trying to shame you for who you are, right? When you listen to some of how these right-wing people speaks, just because they don't agree with you, right? They want to shame you. Excuse me. They want to shame you. See what I'm saying? For who you are. They don't care. Right? They don't care. They're going to shame you anyway. Right? By the time abuse was visible, escape felt impossible. Emotional bonds trapped people psychologically. Control had fully replaced choice. Right? Think about it, right? That's all the people get you. You know what I mean? Now, after a while, once Jim Jones, he got your mind. First, he got your mind and he controlled your mind, right? Then what he do now? Then next, he control your body. See what I'm saying? Because wherever the mind goes, the body's going as well. Or vice versa, whatever. Right? So now, once he got your body and your mind, Jones, he start talking bad about the United States government. The government is plotting against him, said Jim Jones. Right? He warned followers they were in danger. Fear made relocation seem necessary. So now, Jim Jones put fear in you. He put fear in you. So you have no choice but to follow him. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. So Guyana was presented as a promised land. I'm taking y'all to the promised land right now, said Jim Jones. He described it as safe, socialist, and free from racism. These promises were lies. Right? Moving followers overseas will move outside oversight. Distance weakened family intervention. Accountability disappeared, right? And not only regular Americans, politicians too was following this man. Politicians, people that they voted for back in the day, right? Followed this man to their doom. Followers sold homes and gave up assets. And imagine those grown-ass adults, right? Grown adults put the damn children, right, to that crap. Can you believe that? These grown adults talking about how much they love their children, right? But they followed this one man, right? Financial dependence increased control. Leaving became economically impossible now. So Jones controlled transportation in and out of Guyana. Without access, escape was restricted. Physical isolation reinforced psychological captivity. Complaints were met with punishment. So you couldn't complain about what was going on, right? Speaking up meant being labeled disloyal, right? So Jones controlled communications with the outside world. Letters were edited or fabricated. Families were misled intentionally. So medical care was inadequate and controlled. Imagine how many people were sick. Illness increased, dependence on leadership. Jones used armed guards to enforce rules. Fear became physical, not just emotional control. So public rituals reinforced group identity. People were pressured to prove commitment, right? Now, Jones rehearsed mass death through white knights. These drills normalized the unthinkable. Death became an idea people practiced accepting. Okay, so now, after a while, right, children were poisoned first during the final event. Parents were manipulated through love and terror. Control reached its most horrific point. What was promised as a refuge became a prison. Truth came too late for many. Blind trust ended catastrophe, right? So now Jones tell people something looked like that's where the phrase "don't drink the Kool-Aid" came from, right? Because he had people drink something looked like Kool-Aid with poison. You see what I'm saying? With poison, man. And these grown-ass adults, a lot of them were middle-aged adults, putting their children and subject their kids to that mess. You see what I'm saying? And when you talk about you love your children, but you're going to follow a person without doing critical thinking, right? That's where critical thinking steps in, right? Sometimes fear narrows perception. When people feel threatened, they seek protection. Leaders who promise safety gain power. Leaders who promise safety gain power. Look what Donald Trump said, right? He said, when he was campaigning, I'm going to be your retribution. I'm the only one that can save you, according to Donald Trump, when he was campaigning, right? He said, I'm going to save you, right? So he promised protection. And look now, he gained a lot of power, right? So now let's move on. Hold on. Let me find out what I'm looking for. All right. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, man. That's how things get to be, right? So the lesson, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Jonestown teaches the cost of surrendering judgment. Trust without verification is dangerous. History warns us, right? So I'm saying these people that you follow a lot of times, right, and you listen to, trust without verification is very dangerous. Do your research, people, on these people who speaks of stuff like, I'm going to save you, right? Do your research on these people. Don't believe just everything these people say, You know what I mean? I don't give a damn what part of the aisle you are from. You know what I mean? Use your critical thinking skills, man. Right? Blind loyalty doesn't start with violence. It starts with admiration, and escalation follows quietly. Not every leader is malicious. Impact matters more than intent. How can harm can be unintentional, man? I'm telling you. So I'm saying, critical thinking is a survival skill. Protects autonomy, it preserves dignity. Admiration should never replace evaluation. Enjoy art, question opinions, and separation is safety. Right? Separation is safety. I'm telling you, man. You gotta start thinking. Because a lot of people they speak very well and they talk so graciously. You know what I mean? And they depend on your fear to survive. So I'm telling you, people, if anybody is listening to this right now, I'm telling you, do not drink the damn Kool-Aid while people are selling. You know what I mean? Do your homework. Do your homework. Do your homework. I'm telling you, it could save your life. How many people right now during the COVID pandemic died, right? Because they're listening to other people. You understand me? Look at this damn pastor, right? Who said, God is going to protect me from the COVID-19, right? And he was online not wearing his mask. You know what I mean? And how many people he had following him? And he died. Right? I don't know if it's due to COVID, but because of COVID, he died. You understand me? I wonder how many people followed him and died at the same time. When Ron DeSantis opened up Florida during the damn pandemic because he wanted to go against Joe Biden, right? How many millions of people died under his watch? Because these people followed him. You see what I'm saying? These people followed him and millions of people died. Look at someone like Herman Cain, a black Republican who followed Donald Trump. And he followed Donald Trump to his damn death. Not wearing no mask. Followed Donald Trump to his death. And the man died. Right? And it might have been directly from COVID, but due to complications of COVID. Because I guarantee he had underlying conditions. Now, with that being said, thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.